Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, March 13th, 2014. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Elodie.
Lots of things going on in the markets today. Had a pretty nice day in gold, and the markets got a beating. And a lot of action in the bond market, but first let's get started with gold. Lots of things to talk about, plus we have Wendy Wilson joining us for the first segment of the program today. And let's get started. And gold, up $5 today at $13.73. Silver, can't figure out what's going on with silver, down 13 at $21.29. It's kind of like following the way of copper. A little bit. Platinum was up $5 at $14.83, along with palladium up two at $780. The USDX today still trading below the 80 level, 79.62, up 0.01. Crude oil today up 0.29 at 98.28, still below that 100 level. And the paper market's got a hammering later on in the day. It was actually up early when it first opened for trade today. The markets were up, and it had a reversal. It did close out off the low of the day. The Dow was down 230 points at 16,109. The NASDAQ down almost 1.5% at 42.60. For some reason, they're not showing my S&P. That also fell more than 1%. For some reason, they're not showing my numbers. So the 10-year yield today, it seemed like there was a lot of bond interest today, bringing the rates down a little bit. Of course, people do position themselves in the bonds for a safe haven before they go into gold. So you had the 10-year yield down 0.07, but not a lot, 2.65 on the 10-year yield. And that was about one of the heaviest days in trading in the bond market for quite a while. But I wonder why they eliminated my S&P. Shame on them.
Well, I have no explanation.
Now, if they don't like something, they just eliminate it.
Exactly.
But
like the Dow Jones, if they have a stock that's actually in decline,
pull it out.
Move it from the Dow Jones average. Yeah. And if they have a stock indicator like the S&P that's in decline, they may just say, well, we'll eliminate that too. Nothing but happy talk. We want to hear happy talk when we're talking about economic indicators and you're working for the Obama administration?
Well, it seems everyone is looking to the global situation. Of course, everyone seems to be preoccupied with China and how their numbers are falling. Our retail sales for February came out today, 0.3. U.S. retail figures rose. Certainly not what they had expected, but hey, at least it wasn't a negative territory, and they couldn't blame the weather, or maybe they did, for the lack of response in the retail sales. But of course, everyone's worrying about the number two economy, China. They seem to be struggling, and their focus has been on them. Their government figures showing industrial production rose by a lower than anticipated 8.6% for the first 2 months of this year. And the European markets got another beating also overnight. The FTSE 100, that fell 1%. The Germany's DAX, that fell almost 2%. France ended 1.3% lower. And the only government to raise rates central bank to raise rates overnight was the Bank of New Zealand. And there were only...
They just have poor communications down there. They probably haven't heard...
what's going on.
Probably the Central Bank of Antarctica, probably they probably didn't raise their lower rates either, but they're always a day or two behind.
But even with the bad news coming out of China, I mean, they did break down below 2000, and they rose last night 1.1% to 2015. So an interesting world market view. And
what do you think is causing stock markets generally, the ones you referenced anyway, to decline on a global basis?
I think it's a multiple things. I do believe it's the numbers coming out of China, and if China's having bad numbers, you know, who's really leading the world markets? It used to be the U.S., but now is it China? Everyone's more focused on China's economy, but yet who spurs their economy? The U.S. and Europe. So that shows we're declining also. So I think it's a combination. Of course, there's a lot of focus on Ukraine, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Ukraine. Deadlines have been drawn and by Kerry. So we'll be talking about that.
That means it must be really, really serious.
He's drawing the line.
Deadlines instead of Obama.
Yeah, really.
The Obama lines don't work, but maybe Kerry's.
Nobody pays attention. But Obama did sign the executive order for the overtime today, so we'll talk about that. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, but we'll touch on it again today. Wendy Wilson is joining us from Apothecary Herbs today.
Hello, Melody. Hello, Al. How are you doing?
Oh, Wendy, how you doing?
We're just doing great. And what do you have for us today?
The topic today is the new disease emergence, and because we've seen some pretty unusual diseases emerge lately that typically tend to usually just infect animals, but now seem to be crossing over into humans. And apparently, it's mixed in the medical field and research areas. Researchers and medical communities are concerned and even a little dismayed at how they will tend to treat such diseases. And more importantly, they're even asking, how is this being possible? So we've got an increase in animal-to-human diseases, and this is called zoonosis, by the way, and the CDC is supposedly monitoring this situation, but, where does that leave us? What can we expect, and how do you suppose we should protect ourselves from something like this? So have you heard about these new diseases, guys? Have you?
No, I haven't, but I can kind of understand it. I look at it from the perspective of build a better disease, and the world will beat a path to your drug manufacturing plants.
Well, you're close. You're very close. Actually, there's been some journal articles written about these diseases and what they think it's going to do the ecosystem, and humans seem to be taking a back seat to their concern. For instance, there was an article in the Journal of Conservative Biology. They were so concerned about the environment that they estimated that these new diseases could destroy vegetation and even certain species of warm-blooded animals. They boldly stated that 25% of plant vegetation and animal vertebrates could be extinct by 2050. No mention of us humans, you know, the two-legged variety, what will happen to us, of course.
Extinct.
Yeah.
By 2050. Well,
wow.
Given my age, I'll probably be extinct by that time also, but that doesn't, right. That's no cause for confidence among the younger people.
Well, you know, and
what's really happening here? What's
right,
really happening here?
A lot of people are saying, a lot of people are asking you, well, is nature just taking its normal course? And are these intentional diseases nature's pumping out and crossing over? Or is this some sort of intentional disease manipulation by us humans? Well, according to a study that was published in the Journal of Nature, scientists say they're in the dark as to why zoonosis is occurring, and they are speculating that it could be cause of temperature change, you know, the global warming thing, to cause these diseases to leap from animal species to humans, but not overnight, they say. There's like five different stages they say this goes through. So it's almost like the animal infection or disease evolves to going from not infecting humans to infecting humans, and at the same time humans can still be infected by the animals by the same disease. So I don't know if I'm buying that, Al. And
what do you think about population overpopulation?
Well, yeah, that was one of the things that I'm getting to, because we have some scientists' quotes that I want to get to, because they gave us the five stages of disease that crosses the gap from animal to humans, and then science announces, Al and Melanie, that a majority of animal pathogens never cross over to infect humans. Their evolution is somehow different because of a disease. For it to cross from animals to humans, they say, is not an easy transfer. So, now, typically, most people are now confused at this point. Either it's evolving in five stages or it's not. So we're being told that man's interference has helped selected the diseases, Al, Melanie. They say that we're causing the bridge from animals to humans because of blood transfusions, international travel, and contaminated syringes through drug use. Boy, what an excuse, right?
Now, wait a second now. Are we talking about contaminated syringes because somebody's using the same syringe on monkeys in a laboratory or a zoo, and they're using the same syringe on people?
Well, I think it could be maybe more from, you know, developing vaccines, and they usually put the pathogens on animal cells.
They
kidney
test
cells.
Them on animals. They test the pathogens on animals. And the point then would be that those diseases, when they went into the animals,
right.
It might be that you've got a new formula that's going to stop the disease. You give the rabbit a shot of the disease, and it begins to get the disease. You give them a sample of the cure, and the cure wipes out 95% of the disease, but there's still 5% that dealt with the cure.
Well, let me read you. You might, let's see if you catch this. This is a quote by Richard Ostfeld. He's an ecologist of the Institute of Ecosystem Studies. He says this: wildlife pathogens support the suggestion that these kind of human pathogens, zoonotic diseases, are an important source of future epidemics and future disease emergencies in humans. End of quote. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I
understand. Yeah. Why would
anybody
say
I always think I understand, but maybe I don't, you know?
Well, the thing is why would he put it that way, that they're an important source of future pandemics? You know, why would anyone put it that way unless scientists are the ones isolating these diseases from animals, manipulating them in the lab to encourage or secure the pathogen jump to the humans?
Well, there's another explanation. There's at least another, if you like conspiracy theories, you can think about things like the bird flu.
That's right.
We already understand that we are susceptible to infections that come through animals. They've had different diseases that were associated with rodents. I can't remember the name of them, but rodents, they carried certain diseases, and not just the Black Plague. Just in the last 20 years here in the United States, they found something associated, maybe a couple of them, associated with mice out in the desert, and they were carrying some sort of a disease. So the point being that we are creating a plausible source that people say, oh, my gosh, if it's not the birds, it's the mice or the snakes or something. They're coming around and they're giving us these diseases. It creates, you know, you can do a little sales. If people won't take the shot for the bird flu, how about the snake flu? Okay, what about the mouse flu?
Or the bat flu. Right? Well, let me read you this quote.
Flu.
Yeah, now this is a quote by Nathan Wolf. He's a UCLA graduate, and he's the author of the Nature Study. He says this, there will continue to be new diseases that enter into the human population. Now, how could any science say for certainty there's going to be new diseases continue unless they have control over it?
It's not for certainty necessarily. It's just for selling books. You know, some of you make outrageous statements and it helps to sell your next book. Even if the statement is false, and that's kind of a joke, but there's truth behind it. There's people out there that just make outrageous statements and then people buy their books.
Well, let's
and
get into
a couple
some
years
science,
later, they make though. Another outrageous statement.
Well, let's get into some real research science for just a minute, because science is boasting that they have mastered the art of gene manipulation to the extent that they can take disease-resistant genes and make them non-resistant to disease. So the University of California has been experimenting with gene manipulation in crops for nearly 20 years. And in 1995, there was this annual review of phytopathology, and they reported on molecule markers and traits that they can cross genes with. So they learned how to take unresistant plants and make them more resistant to disease and vice versa. Animals, of course, were the next in the natural progression of scientific testing. What they were hoping for, Al, what is known as transgenic disease control, but as usually, nature has thrown a monkey wrench into that. So in gene manipulation, you have all these molecules, like ingredients in a recipe, but just hundreds of them. So keeping all the molecules straight would actually drive anybody insane. And according to the review, it said many genes are involved in determining the outcome of the interaction between plants and pathogens. Now, get this. According to Perelman School of Medicine, their Department of Medicine is working on the molecule controls for cellular growth in target pathobiology, and they're admitting that their work is experimental and their research is going to affect the human immune system.
I just love it when they affect the human immune system, and it's an experiment. We don't exactly know what we're doing. It could go well. It might go badly. We don't know, but we're going to take a shot.
Well, how about this one? The Drexel University College of Medicine is working on synthetic biology with regards to infections. And here's a question I have. Who's to say the Morgellons disease is really not a synthetic parasite experiment that went wrong? So synthetic pathogens are really considered bioterror weapons. And if you read the homepage of Homeland Security Newswire, you can see how advanced the area of synthetic biology has really become. So they really want to harness human genomes, control them to the point that they're going to soon have what they call intelligent implants to supposedly prevent you, Al, from getting sick.
Yeah, and if you don't get the intelligent implant, you will get sick. And if you don't have, and if you take the intelligent implant, I'll guarantee it'll do something besides prevent you from catching diseases. It's going to expose you to some other level of government control.
Well, here's something that I picked up in the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, chapter 28, verses 60 to 61. Here's what God said. He said, moreover, the Lord will bring upon all these diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, and they will cling unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them the law will bring upon you until you be destroyed. So I think the Lord was, you know, projecting the latter days, and he knew that scientists would be messing around with his creation to create all kinds of ungodly diseases.
Well, he certainly understood that people are afraid of diseases, and I'm sure that people in laboratories and major pharmaceutical firms understand the same thing, and you can sell things with a certain amount of fear. Why don't you give us some contact information,
Oh, sure.
And we will look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
All right. Yes, apothecary herbs. If you're interested in immune boosting and organ cleansing, go ahead and get the pathogens out and put good nutrition in. Call the folks. Toll free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or you can visit the website, thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right, Wendy. Wendy Wilson, thank you. From thepowerherbs.com, Wendy will be back next Thursday. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Folks, I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What you got for folks today, Melody?
We're continuing the special in Mint State 62, $20 Liberty gold pieces, $100 over spot bullion prices. I shouldn't say spot, over gold eagle prices. $1,525, a 1 ounce gold eagle coin at a very good value is $1,425. So either or, they're great prices for either coin. Mint State 62, $20 Liberty gold piece or a 1 ounce gold eagle coin. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And this price is really, I've seen it priced elsewhere on the internet for over $1,600, $1,620.
And you're selling it for what?
$1,525.
Very nearly, what's that, $95 less?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very good special.
No, that's a heck of a deal. I mean, you get the opportunity, If gold goes up $100, and it's going to, you've recovered whatever premium you've paid for a mint state coin, and from then on, you have the opportunity of not only appreciating in terms of the price of gold, as gold goes up, you make more. But you have the opportunity also of a restoration of collectibles. And it's virtually certain to happen. People are going to start collecting gold, not just as bullion, but looking for the rare pieces. And when they do, you're going to see an even greater increase. It's just, it's very hard to beat that deal.
But they need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure.
I refuse. I deny, deny, deny. All right. But are you still there now, Melody, or are you dropping off again?
I'm still here, so we are on. Mm-hmm. Well, then don't say we dropped off. Anyway, President Obama directing he did a signed a presidential memorandum directing the Department of Labor to devise the new overtime hours that we talked about yesterday. And, of course, the debate is, a burden on smaller businesses and other companies that could actually cost jobs. And, of course, he's increasing the federal minimum wage from $7.25. He's calling on Congress to increase the minimum wage to $10.10. But he has also pledged, whenever necessary, he will bypass Congress to act on his own on economic initiatives. So, folks, if you have any reason at all to buy gold, it's that one right there. You know, he's going to be acting on his own economic initiatives. Excuse me, we're in trouble. But anyway.
You know, the whole thing about this, we talked a little about this, I think, yesterday, but the point is not President Obama can come out and guarantee he can pass a law that says all radio talk show hosts have to be paid at least $100,000 an hour for their time. Well, I might favor that law, but the fact of the matter is, where's that money coming from? The answer is, the only place he can get it is from other people that are already working for a living. And how is it going to stimulate the economy to take $100,000 from somebody who's got it and give it to me, for example? It'll be a wonderful thing for me. I'm going to sit back and say, yay, I got an extra $100,000. Well, that's great for me, but the total amount of money in the economy is not changed. And as a result, we've got a pie that we all take a share of. And unless we increase the size of the pie, if we increase the size of the pie, then everybody gets a bigger cut. But if all we're going to do is keep the pie the same size or maybe even shrink it and just shift who gets a piece of the pie instead of somebody getting a piece, I get a piece, or the piece I used to have is divided up among three other people, there is no gain to the economy. There's just a political shift that may incur a certain amount of political support from some people and also some political antagonism from another. But the solution is not to raise wages. See if you can say that three times, Melody. Raise wages. See if you can say raise wages three times without messing up.
Raise wages.
The solution is not simply...
Raise wages.
The solution is not simply to raise wages. The solution is you got to figure a way to produce more. And I don't hear anyone in Congress or the White House advocating that perspective. Now, I don't doubt there's a few people in Congress who talk about it, but who's doing anything about it? How do we increase the size? How do we increase the size of the economy? That's the issue. And the issue is we have to become more productive. And again, I talked about it yesterday some, but the, you know, a report from a couple of economists back about 6 months ago calculated that if the amount of regulation was the same today as it was in 1949, that the median household income would not be $53,000 a year, which is what it is right now. It would be over $300,000. The point is that the government's regulation, and some of them are good. We're not against all government regulation, but in total, that government regulation is crushing our prosperity. And someone needs to think about this and say, listen, if we really want to stimulate the economy, the first order of business is to reduce government regulation.
Well, there's
get the
more,
government yeah. off our back and we can
it's not
run
even that,
faster.
Al. It's taxes. It's taxes.
It's the same thing.
It's all the trade agreements. It isn't the I don't believe it's just the regulations on business and so forth.
Well, it's just one side of the coin. All
but
right?
It's
you
taxes.
Can look at it. You say taxes,
see,
what do we need the taxes for? To regulate. We cut the regulations to some degree, we cut the taxes. We don't need as much tax. If they're not enforcing as many regulations, they don't need as much taxes.
I don't look to social programs as regulation. I mean, that's what most of our money is going to, is to pay for all these social programs and all the defense. I mean, you know, I mean, it's for a government that has spend. So, I don't know.
Well, it's again, those social programs. I mean, those people there's enough talk about social programs, welfare programs right now to reasonably predict that within the next 2, maybe 4 years, we're going to see some dramatic reductions in welfare. Because we have a growing problem. Welfare has become so generous that it makes sense for a lot of people to say, why should I go to work? I just stay home, live on welfare. Don't have to get up in the morning, don't have to drive to work, don't need to spend gasoline, don't need to buy lunch out on the street. I can just sit back at home and sleep in and wait for my welfare checks.
Well, for those who want to go to work, Al, the first applicants arrived about 5 hours earlier today for the marijuana industry job fair that opened in Denver. The line stretched for 2 blocks. Organizers say they heard beforehand from more than 600 job seekers who plan to attend the Wednesday event. This was yesterday. Many more likely to come during the all-day job fair, judging from the number of people in line who say they only heard about it in the past few days. So I'm not sure what this company's name is, which makes vaporizers and other devices, organizes the fair to meet its own growing staff needs and to help others in the industry. He says the company's going to have to look for a bigger venue, need a venue bigger than its central Denver headquarters for the next fair, he says, which is already being planned. So those of you who are looking for a job and you like a little of that, what an industry.
Well, I understand.
You can do it legally now.
I know. This bud's for you.
Don't inhale, though. Don't inhale.
Yeah, don't inhale, but this bud's for you. I can imagine being the resume, the person in charge of reading the resumes of the job applicants. That's going to be the basis of a pretty interesting book. You know, you get these replies from people. You see them once in a while where they have a list of people who are complaining about who knows. anything, rape laws, service at Walmart, and they find people that just make completely idiotic comments, and you see it once in a while, there'll be a dozen or 20 of them on an email. Well, I'm going to make you a bet that whoever's taken the job applications down there for people who want to work in the pot factories, they're going to collect some very interesting comments, and we may see some books coming out of this. So, what else, Nolly?
Now, we got about 5 minutes before the break. Let's, we talked about Kerry drawing the land, the line in the sand, but Russia's also conducting new military maneuvers near the border with Ukraine today. And he said the world shouldn't blame his country for what he called Ukraine's internal crisis. In Crimea, where the public will vote on Sunday whether to break away from the Ukraine and become part of Russia, you had residents lined up at their banks to withdraw cash from their accounts amid uncertainty over the future of the peninsula, which the Russian troops are now controlling. And these people are afraid that their banks are going to collapse, and they don't want to lose their money because nobody knows what will happen tomorrow. You had U.S. Secretary Kerry and the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov. They plan to meet in London tomorrow for kind of a last-ditch bid to end the standoff. And what was interesting also is Merkel out of Germany. She said some pretty strong and powerful statements. She said Russia risks massive political and economic consequences if it does not enter into negotiations that achieve results over the situation in Ukraine. She said the only way out of the crisis is through diplomacy and that the use of military is no option. And
so what's going to stop Russia? If the military is no option, what is going to change Russia's mind? There's nothing they can do that I'm able to understand. They can talk about it, but the problem is the United States can't stop Russia all by itself. The United States can't stop Russia without the support of the European Union. The European Union is 25% of its natural gas from Russia. They don't dare mess with Russia, or they're going to be freezing to death in the dark over there. They're not going to do anything. So there's nothing to be done. This is just a great conversation. And government, the United States, and Europe will wring their hands and issue rhetoric, and they will complain that, oh my gosh, there's going to be great consequences. And the truth is, it'll be business as usual. And well, that'll be the consequence of all of this, although it may be another few weeks before we get to that point, but that's what we're going to see. Business as usual.
But the panic that is going on right now, nobody understands what's going to happen later. They are limiting bank withdrawals and so forth across the whole country within the Ukraine, right? You have people lining up to withdraw money from the ATMs. So, again, folks, don't wait for this to happen. Get prepared and be ready for it. And, be prepared. Don't be scared. And it's, once you have your gold and your silver and your position, your food and your water, you can sit back. Somebody sent me, I guess Richard Russell was interviewed today or yesterday or recently, and he pretty much said, I'm sitting with my gold on the sidelines, and he says, I'm going to watch history unfold.
Yeah.
He's quite content.
Yeah.
He feels secure in his purchases. And he repeated it more than once. I'm sitting with my gold, and I'm going to watch history unfold.
Me and my gold bars, watching history unfold. That's
really
nice for Mr. Well, I agree. That's nice for Mr. Russell, but there's one thing about it. He is on the sidelines, I'll bet you. Now, other people are living in the midst of a significant city. And they're not going to be on the sidelines. They are going to, when history unfolds, they will be in that history. They will be in that unfolding. And they have a particular need to do what they can to protect themselves. People talk about being preppers and one thing and another like that. If you don't have a place that's outside of the major cities to go to that you can reach, they can, if real trouble starts you're not going to be able to get out of Dallas. I'm living in Dallas. You can't get out of Dallas. Everybody will be trying to get out at the same time. Well, good luck. It'll last for a couple of weeks before you can get out of the city. You got to be prepared within the city to do what you need to do in order to survive for at least the first few weeks, maybe a couple of months. I'm Alfred Adask. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We were talking a little about the Ukraine when we closed off the program. Let's go back and beat that horse a little more. Ukraine crisis brings urgency to Senate Democrats' push on natural gas exports. This is from the Washington Examiner. Some Senate Democrats are beginning to rally behind exporting natural gas on national security grounds. Debate unfolded Wednesday in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where Senator John Barrasso, a Republican, Wyoming, tried to tie to a Ukrainian aid bill an amendment requiring the Energy Department to greenlight natural gas exports to NATO members and the Ukraine. Now, this isn't news exactly. And what I mean by that is that President Obama has already recommended that the United States and Canada work together to start supplying natural gas to the European Union. Now, the reason for this sudden concern about exporting natural gas is based on the fact that Russia currently supplies about 25% of the natural gas consumed by the European Union. Because the EU is dependent on Russia for so much of its energy supplies, the European Union is unable to risk condemning Russia's seizure of the Crimea by imposing economic penalties against Russia. You understand? You use hand tied. So what the United States wants to do with Canada is they're going to say, in order to reduce the European Union's energy dependence on Russia, the Obama administration's recommend U.S. and Canada should work together to export natural gas to the European Union. Now, if we could supply all of the European Union's natural gas instead of Russia, or at least they got the 25% that they're currently receiving from Russia, they got it from us instead, then the European Union wouldn't be under Russia's thumb, right? They'd be under our thumb, but that's another story. Currently, there are federal laws that prohibit or restrict the export of natural gas to foreign countries. So let's suppose that the congressmen who are currently advocating the passage of laws to allow the export of natural gas to the EU, let's suppose they succeeded in passing such laws. How long would it be before we sent the first shipment of natural gas to Europe? Think we could get it off next week or next month? No. It'll probably take several years. It might take a decade before the first shipment of natural gas leaves the east coast of the United States headed for the European Union. Why? Because both the United States and Canada don't have the infrastructure, the natural gas pipelines capable of moving enough additional natural gas to the east coast to not only provide the natural gas that the east coast cities and states need for energy and to heat their homes during the wintertime and run their ovens and so on, but also to include an additional, a sufficient volume of natural gas to ship to European Union. We have pipelines going to the East Coast, yeah. But they're basically enough. They handle the volume needed for the cities that we have. They are not sufficient to also move an additional 25% of the energy requirements to the European Union. European Union is a bigger economy than we have, than the United States. This is the equivalent of asking us to increase the volume of natural gas shipped to the East Coast by 25%. Whatever we're doing right now, we're going to have to up it by 25, 30, 40% in order to provide whatever is needed in Europe. Now, what's this all mean? I mean, it means that Congress can pass all the laws they want to implement export of natural gas to the European Union, but none of those laws will make a difference until someone first builds some more pipelines across at least half of the United States. And judging by the trouble they're having in passing laws to allow the Keystone Pipeline from Canada to the United States, we can't expect any new pipelines to the East Coast to be completed anytime soon. Therefore, the United States government can't stop Russian annexation of the Crimea itself, and the European Union won't dare risk its energy supplies by supporting U.S. economic sanctions against Russia, which means, one, the United States and European Union governments will do nothing but talk about stopping the annexation of the Crimea, and two, Russia will soon have officially annexed the Crimea, and perhaps without even firing a single shot. Now, I don't mean no one will do any shooting. Maybe the partisans within the Crimea are going to do some shooting. I don't know what's going to happen there. But it's not impossible, and I'm not saying it'll even happen, but it's not impossible that the Crimea is going to become part of Russia without the Russian army ever firing a shot. From a Russian perspective, that would be an almost incredible achievement. Now, we can sit back and criticize from this side, but the Russians are going to sit back and say, that's something. They will have seized a relatively small but highly strategic tract of foreign land without having fired a shot. When was the last time any other nation achieved a similar success without the military firing a shot? I mean, I'm not going to say that no one within the Crimea is going to shoot at someone else, but without the Russian military firing a shot, could happen. I'm not, you know, could happen. It's a shame that Americans don't have someone in Washington who is as intelligent and fearless as Vladimir Putin, willing to fight for America as Putin is willing to fight for Russia. We don't have that advantage. We don't have anybody. And part of the reason is because people in Washington right now are working at cross purposes with the objectives of the people of the United States. And part of the reason I say that is because I read the Congress and I read the president as trying to promote a new world order. I read them as trying to remove the United States and subject it to this new world order. And therefore, they don't have time to defend us. They don't have time to do what's right to strengthen the United States. More properly, the United States of America. They're not trying to strengthen us. They're trying to weaken us, in my estimation, my reading, so we are more susceptible to whatever promises can ultimately be made from the New World Order. And as a result, they can't protect us. They're not inclined to. They're inclined to dissipate our wealth rather than protect our prosperity, our wealth, our means of production. You know, you can't look at what's happened over the past couple of decades in this country and suppose that there aren't people in Washington, D.C. that are engaged, knowingly engaged, in destroying this country. They're trying to combine us into a North American Union with Canada and Mexico. There is no proviso in the Constitution that grants any member of Congress, the Senate, the White House, the courts, none of them have the power lawfully to try to combine us into some sort of an economy or regional nation that includes Canada and Mexico. They have no constitutional authority to do that. But they're doing it. They're working at it behind the scenes, generally speaking. You have to pay attention if you're going to catch up on, but they're doing it. And they are not, insofar as they're trying to slowly, step by step, destroy the United States of America, they're not going to defend us effectively in the world theater. They'll dissipate our wealth, they'll dissipate our energy, they'll dissipate our prosperity, they'll dissipate our rights. They're going to do us right for the American people, and we see evidence of that to some degree, and the problem with the Ukraine and pipelines and everything else. I'd be surprised. I won't say I'll be completely surprised, but I'd be surprised to some extent if anyone in the audience can call in and say, look, here's what the government's doing in our part of the country, and it's good for us. It really is good for the American people. Not for special interests. It's good for the American people. What has your government done for the general welfare of the people of the United States of America in the last 10 years? They've done some things for special interests, I get that. But all that means is they take money from Melody and give it to me. That's not helping the economy. It's not helping the people. It might make me a happy camper, but it doesn't do any good for the country. Can you think of anything, Melody, that the government's done that's good for the general American people over the last decade? Are you here, Melody?
I'm... Mm-hmm. I can't recall.
Neither can I. And
sure there was something.
Like what? Like what?
I mean, I saw this.
I've been aware of this question for most of a decade. They had some kind of a contest. I don't remember. It was $10,000 scholarship or $10,000 or something like that to write up an article on what the most successful government program was of the past 10 years or 5 years or whatever. I don't remember the time frame anymore. And this was broadcast over national. You know, they said, oh, we're having a contest and you could win $10,000. They had one entry. That's all. There's only one person in the whole country who could think of anything. Well, what has the government done good for us? Let me count the ways. Well, you're not going to need a lot of fingers in order to count the ways government has helped the American people.
One.
They pushed the economy to the point where we're on the verge of something potentially catastrophic. They've deprived us of rights. They grope us in the airports. We've got cops that shoot people with impunity. You know, this is going to change. This is going to change. And unless the police and the government essentially close this country down and just reduce it to an absolutely overt police state where anyone who makes a comment critical of government can expect to hear people rapping on the door in a short period of time to haul them off to a camp. Unless we degrade that far, this is going to turn around. We're going to see, we talked a little earlier about the idea that people on welfare, they're going to see a change in that. That's beginning to attract some very difficult problems for the people who depend on government. That's going to happen within the next couple of years. And I don't know where they're going to go for their next job. They're going to be in trouble. It's maybe a cushy ride right now, but you watch and see how bumpy it gets before this is all over. What do you think, Melody? Are you thinking of, are you planning on going on welfare or what?
No, I'm going to be working till the day I drop over. Mm-hmm. There isn't anything else to do, but...
Yeah. No, I understand. I think that's probably correct.
And, but I've been blessed. I mean, there are lots of people have problems, and not to take away anything from those folks. Right?
Well, I don't understand what you're saying, not to take anything away from what folks?
Well, I mean, you know, there's, you know...
people who are legitimate.
The system is legitimate. The system is being abused. There's fraud. And the fraud is tremendous. I mean, just like any of the programs, social programs, sometimes I wonder the majority of the payments is mostly fraud. I mean, even the healthcare system, the fraud was rampant.
Well, I've told you before, you know, we've had fraud. It's always been part of it. It's part of all government programs. You'll never see one probably that is fraud-free. But we've generated a system right now, I mentioned this before, where the minister at the church I attend, he's pointed out, he works in a concrete man. He's an executive at a concrete manufacturing company. And one of his employees came up to him and said, I like you guys and rest, but he says, you guys are working too hard. I can make more money just going out on welfare and staying at home, and I don't have to work, and I don't want to work that hard. So he's going on welfare not because he's out of work. He's going out on welfare because they have made him a deal. Government has made him a deal that he can't resist. He's going to make $30,000, $40,000 a year sitting on his butt. Huh?
We got a quick caller. I don't know if we can do it before we end the program, Al.
Well, we were going to have to do it before we end the program, or we're not going to do it at all. You want to try it? Who's calling?
Go ahead.
Hi, it's Aaron, and I have an answer to your million-dollar question, the government programs.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Increase the guns and ammo sales.
Well, you're right.
For private corporations.
They had that effect, but it was not their intent. You're right about that.
Okay, well, that's all I had to say. Thanks for a great show.
Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. Folks, we are about out of time, so Melody and I have to bid you adieu and hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer. I'm Alfred Adusk on Financial Survival. See you mañana.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.